This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Dr. Waleed Faris, Senior Fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies here in Washington. He's also the author most recently of The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. The U.S., of course, currently engaged in multiple theaters against radical Islamists, including Afghanistan, where on Thursday voters will head to the polls for their latest presidential election. And Dr. Faris is here to talk about the military strategy a little bit, as well as the political elements at work in Afghanistan. And Dr. Faris, it's always good to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Let's talk first about the political dimensions here. Hamid Karzai has been the president of Afghanistan ever since we overthrew the Taliban shortly after 9/11, and now, of course, he's got some challengers that lead some to believe that Karzai may not win a majority of the vote tomorrow. Explain what's at work politically in Afghanistan.
Well, the most important event, basically, is the fact that there is an election, the second election in Afghanistan, presidential election, since 2004. Numbers are important. There are about 15.6 million voters who have registered to vote. Another number, somewhere between 35% to 38% of these registered voters are women. There are a large number of candidates. Yes, on the top you have Hamid Karzai and two main challengers, his foreign minister, former foreign minister Abdullah Abdullah, and another intellectual who's independent, Ramazan Baharadost. But below them, you have a large number of very much moderate, intellectual, secular candidates for the presidency. You have also a liberal female MP, Shahla Atta, who also was part of the previous pre-Taliban, if you wish, democratic systems in Afghanistan. The issue now is, will any of the candidates who could win, who could challenge Hamid Karzai, no doubt about it, change the course of democracy? Fortunately, the answer is no. Those who are part of the system now, outside the Taliban, believe in the system. Actually, they may want to do better than Karzai if they win. Karzai has chances, but it is going to be a democratic election under the fire of the anti-democracy forces. That's the Taliban, who, by the way, call this election a program of the crusaders and are calling for the boycott of the election.
What are the people saying there? Your sources inside Afghanistan, are the people believing the Taliban propaganda against the election, or are most people very excited about taking part once again?
Look, the Taliban communication strategy, quote unquote, is not swaying more or less hearts and minds. Those who are with the Taliban, the jihadists, and or the followers of the clans and tribes still under the control or influence of the Taliban are going to boycott. But that's a segment that is well known. It's a segment that has not really changed. Actually, it has regressed from 2004. So the numbers, call them the democracy numbers, are growing. But the bombs that the Taliban are placing are also growing, which leads me to believe that what the Taliban are showing us now is that had they believed they would win these elections, they could have ran in those elections, as was the case with the Salafi Islamists in Algeria in 1991. They ran because they thought they would win. The Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, same thing. But the Taliban knows that if they would run, run for these elections, not only they may not win in Afghanistan, but including in the home ethnic group of the Pashtun. Therefore, they are trying to bring down these political processes by the way of weapons and the violence.
We're talking with Dr. Waleed Faris of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. And Dr. Faris, looking at the military strategy over there now, obviously the United States and our accompanying NATO forces have stepped up our efforts. There may even be more troops from the U.S. on the way by the end of the year. What do you sense is the goal here in terms of a timetable of progress against the Taliban? What do we hope to have accomplished here before too long?
Look, my analysis under the Bush administration continued to be the same under the Obama administration. It's about really the strategic horizon of our campaign in Afghanistan. The first part of that campaign, as was the case in Iraq, though, is to bring down the Taliban, ensure a space of liberty and freedom for the making and the production and the development and the evolution of a democratic system, which is happening. Now, when the Taliban counter that and launch their offensive, terror offensive, what they're trying to do, the real objective is not to defeat NATO forces. They can't do that. It's to defeat the will, the democratic will of the Afghani society. So to answer the question, sending more troops is a good thing to re-defeat the Taliban. But again, this is a cycle that can only end when NATO, the international community, our allies, and the Afghani democratic forces will basically change the political culture. That would terminate the Taliban, or at least would marginalize the Taliban, which means we've got to attack the ideology which is producing the Taliban at school, in neighborhoods, university, and elsewhere. And that is where I think the Obama administration needs to, have a different option than the option that it had chosen over the past month, that is not to touch the ideology. If we don't touch the ideology, we'll continue just doing military campaigns, and the horizons will be blocked.
Talk about the changing of the political culture. What are the most important keys to doing that? Obviously, you talked about spreading ideas and moving away from what had been there in the past, but how do you do that?
Well, there is a whole strategy that has to be adopted, but from the top, on the very top of the strategy, the administration and its advisors must be convinced and understand that they have to isolate the ideology of the opponents, talk about it, let the public understand that it's not just about disenfranchisement and what have you, that there is an ideology that if you follow, you're going to end up with the Taliban, as was the case with the Weimar Republic in Germany, when people followed. They had problems, but when they followed this type of ideology, they ended up with the Nazis. Now, once we have that conviction done, we move to the second stage, who can communicate that message. Well, of course, there's a vast array of communicators, including the teachers. 25,000 teachers in Afghanistan should be the real army, the NGOs, women, mothers, and other social workers. We don't have a strategy for that. We just rely on the fact that we are producing ideas, but we don't have engineers and actually an infantry to move these ideas forward.
Dr. Ferris, unfortunately, our time is up. Obviously, we'll be curious to see how those elections turn out tomorrow, and especially if there's a runoff. Thank you, sir, very much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Dr. Waleed Ferris is senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. His most recent book is The Confrontation, Winning the War Against Future Jihad. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.